Hello, you've made it.
Yeah, I should get a medal for being here.
I know, exactly. Awesome. I want to know who still has power. Is anybody
not have power?
There's still some without. Oh my goodness. Oh gosh.
One of the gals on staff here, her name is, well, I won't tell you your name, it's super bright, super sharp, always, you know, put together really well. And so she's sitting in a meeting today and she looks down and she's got two different shoes on. And so she dressed in the dark at her house. And so she had gym shoes and she wore her gym shoes. So you guys are all dressed. You got matching shoes. Congratulations for being here. So my name is John. It's my wife, Pam. We've been married 28 years, soon to be 29. We've got four kids. Yeah. Four kids. Two are out of the house. Two are in college. One is married and they're pregnant, which means... Woo-hoo! I will be a grandparent.
That's right.
And I will be a grandpa and grandma, and really excited about it. We're still dialing in our names. I think we're pretty close, which is now.
It's crazy that that's the thing. Like 20 years ago, you were just grandma.
I don't want to mess this up. Yeah.
Now it's important to get the right name. And then the kid will just say whatever I've heard.
That's correct.
Kind of maybe doesn't matter.
That's correct. So, and we've been involved, with Reengage. We don't talk about it a lot, but in 2006, we started piloting Reengage. And so Pam and I were involved way back then. So we love this ministry. Some of my favorite memories being on staff have been right here on this platform or in this room. And it's really fun to be with you tonight. So Matt asked us to talk about expectations.
That's right.
So you want to talk about what expectations are and kick us off?
Expectations. All right. Expectations, the definition, they're just beliefs about the way things will be or should be. And that includes everything. Behaviors, rules, life, little things, big things, relationships. We have expectations about everything. What it's going to be like, what breakfast is going to be first thing in the morning, what you're going to do tonight, what this weekend looks like, and then big things. Like when you said I do, you had these expectations of what it was going to look like 20 years down the road. And so expectations are a big deal. And probably one of the biggest catalysts probably of conflict for us has been, and for couples, is when there's unmet expectations in your relationship.
Yeah. And so tonight, that's what we want to talk about is expectations. Specifically, what do you do when they're not met? Yeah. And I think all of us know what it's like to have an expectation, to be excited about something or be looking forward to something, and it just not quite materialize the way that you had hoped it would be. So part of our family's journey, part of our story was when the kids grew up, over 5 years, we went and saw a Major League Baseball game in every baseball stadium in the country. So that's 30 stadiums. Took us 5 summers, which really was an excuse to kind of see the whole country. And we did some awesome things. We saw some baseball, and it was a little bit about baseball, but it's mostly about just kind of making memories and being together. So we hiked Half Dome. We hiked across the Grand Canyon, you know, just kind of ate our way through all the major cities and saw lots of national parks. It was really fun. So we were at 29, and we were going to our 30th ballpark. And I remember just going like, hey, and this has been a quest. Like, what would happen is you have to, it may not make sense, but if you go to California, you got to make sure all the teams are in town. They're always going in town, out of town. So you got to pick a time where you can drive down, you know, so starting in Seattle and drive down and see all the games. And it took a lot of work, a lot of time, a lot of money, a lot of planning. And so we're driving to St. Louis. We're going to complete the quest. And I'm just kind of living in that moment about what that's going to be like, you know, when we get back in, you know, in the car. And so we go, we see the game, and they put like a little thing up on the screen. It's like, hey, you know, McGee's, like, congratulations, all 30 stadiums. I don't know what it was. So we get back in the car, and this is something we've been chasing for 5 years. So my expectation was we were going to get in the car, and the kids, like, would just go, Dad, like, we are blessed among all children to be your offspring. And the quest that you took us on, the sights that you showed us, the conversations that we had along the way, what that must have cost you in terms of planning, in terms of money and energy. Like, we cannot believe we're your kids. Thank you so much. We'll cherish these memories forever. And that's kind of what I'm expecting. We get in the car, I turn it up, and everybody falls asleep. And I just thought, you know, not really the way I thought that would go, you know. And so
you drove all night from St. Louis to Dallas, too.
I had from St. Louis all the way to Dallas to kind of work it out, you know. go, how am I going to respond, you know. And what happened from there to here was essentially like, hey, that was an expectation. I didn't communicate it. It probably wasn't even reasonable. And I think I can kind of work through that. I don't need to berate anybody. They were tired. They're kids, man. They had all come off of long stuff. And so my expectations were probably a little bit unreasonable. But I think all of us have some type of expectations that haven't been met. And how we handle them becomes really important. And it has a lot to do with the quality of our relationship. So expectations that aren't met, that I talked about in that setting, here's kind of the progression, the way it'll go a lot of times. Starts with sadness. Mm-hmm. So that was how I experienced that. Then there's disappointment, then frustration, and then anger. And a lot of us know what that's like. It, you know, somewhere around, for some of us, like the 2-year mark, that's when the gloss is kind of knocked off. You know, you get married and you're like, well, they're not perfect, but that's okay because I can change them. Right, they're now married to me, and I'll make them great. And you think you can do that, and by year 2, you go, oh, that might not happen. And then by year 7, you've worked through all that, and sometimes you get really frustrated with them. Like, they're not going to change. I can't change them. Oh no, what have I done? Right, and so that can be a progression there. So. So tonight, we want to talk about how to handle that, and we'll start with some scripture.
Yeah, so Proverbs 13:12 kind of speaks to this. It says, hope deferred makes a heart sick, but desire fulfilled is a tree of life. And so you just think about, I mean, just that literally, like, just kind of that pit in your stomach, like this expectation you had, it's not met. Even if things were fine, you know, it doesn't mean things went bad, but it just this expectation you had wasn't met, and you just kind of, but when you had this, man, these dreams or these plans, and that's met, it just kind of is a tree of life. And so even just the Bible speaks to that, we kind of all understand and we know what that looks like. And so we want to talk about just where the expectations come from, and then just real practically how to help you, how it's been really helpful for us just to handle the expectations.
Yeah.
So you want to jump into that?
Yeah, yeah. I think so. So I think a lot, we'll give you how to handle them. It's really pretty simple.
Yep.
Some things in marriage are pretty complicated. This one's really not. It's pretty simple on how to think about and handle them. But a question we don't often stop to think about is, where do our expectations come from? Okay? So you guys thought about that at all? Like, where, when you think about marriage, when you think about what you thought your marriage would be, what you thought it should be, mm-hmm. Where do those expectations kind of come from? So we can do some audience participation, like one at a time. Growing up, like,
yeah.
Your family?
Yeah, just right? Your family of origin.
Which
yeah.
Could be a really good thing, could be a really bad thing, right?
Or so a mixed bag.
Yeah, probably a mixed bag. But if you grew up in crazy town, you know, like some families that grew up and they're always fighting, and so you just get married, and like, that's just what we do. We ring the bell, and we just kind of duke it out verbally, you know. Or sometimes your parents never fought, and you're like, the first fight you have, like, oh no, we're doomed. And so a lot of times, just our expectations do come from our family of origin, right, wrong, or indifferent, you know. For Pam and I, we've got tons of those. One of my favorite ones was at Pam's house, if she wanted something to go in the attic, like, you know, think of like a little attic that went up into the ceiling, she'd put it down on the floor, and her dad would just kind of shuttle it up there. So he would, and it was a really small crawl.
Yeah, it was crawl. This crazy entrance inside his closet, and you had to remove this little, I mean, yeah. It wasn't a pull down. It was weird.
Yeah, it'd be a kind of contortionist, right?
Yes, he used to be in the circus, so it was perfect.
Yeah. No. So early, yeah, well, he wasn't. He'd guessing weights in the circus. No, so Pam, early in our marriage, Pam set some stuff down under our attic drop down, and she puts more stuff there, and I'm like, whoa, 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 like, what's this stuff? Like, and she's like, I'm waiting for you to put it up in the attic. And I was like, no, because in my house, if you wanted something in the attic, you went up there and you got it, and when you were done, you put it back. Like, there was no, you know, luggage fairy that you just sat there, and so we talked about it. I was like, okay, like, it's not a big deal. That's just not what we had different expectations. We communicated through it, not a problem. So family of origin, huge. Mm-hmm. What else? For you guys, where else do expectations come from? Culture. Any other thoughts, like specifically? Just culture. TV.
TV, yeah.
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 Media.
For sure. Yeah.
And there's the the rom-com, the everything's amazing, you know, until it isn't, right? And then there's a divorce or they split up or those kinds of things. And we've seen things that have just kind of, we've been indoctrinated by, and we go, yeah, that's what it looks like to be married well. Or I want that, I don't want that. And it does, it shapes us. So what else? Anything else? Yes, sir. That's right. You're just driving around town, just kind of thinking. You're out on a walk, and you're like, I think it's going to look like like this. Right. And that's perfect. And I think social media is a big one, right? And we read, you know, all these posts and all these people who are always in love and everything's amazing, you know, and the lighting was always great, right? And no one posts, like, you know, about families, you know, every kid is great. Like, no one puts that post up that, you know, little Johnny was up at the plate, bases loaded, we were down by three, and he struck out, you know, game over. Like, no one puts that one under, you know. I put on 10 pounds and feel terrible, ask me how, you know. Like, no one does that. And so since we have those experiences, we go, oh, I wonder if something's wrong with us or something's different, because it doesn't seem like anyone else has those. And we really are oftentimes, we can be shaped by that.
Yeah. So I think else? Another one for us has been just watching other couples, and this can be a good thing or it can be hard. In the church, you know, just your re-engaged leaders or just other couples, and just to think, okay, that's exactly, I see this little bit of them, and so I think this is what it must look like at home for them, and this is the way it's got to be. And if we don't do it exactly like our pastor or our leaders or other people, then something's wrong. And just to forget that every marriage looks different, every marriage can handle things differently, and it can still be good, even though it looks different than someone else. But even though a good example, I think, could be detrimental if you don't handle it well.
Yeah, and so just one of the first steps is just to ask, when you have an expectation that's unmet, is, hey, where did that come from? Mm-hmm. Like, where did that come from? And we get really twisted up, especially in the area of sex, when we've viewed pornography and we think, like, I want it to look like that, or I expect that, or I'm due that, right? And I think if we're honest about where those expectations come from, it really does, it kind of blunts some of the blow, mm-hmm. right? Because most of the time when we have an expectations, it's not like we're having a quiet time in the morning and, you know, we're reading the book of Romans, like, okay, that's where all my expectations for marriage came from, right? Sometimes they are, but oftentimes they're not. And we have to remember that our expectations come from God's word, and it is a reasonable expectation to think about, like, fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. That's all really reasonable. But some of the things that we've experienced, we've seen, we're dragging those into our relationship, we get really frustrated about it. Mm-hmm. And a good first step is to ask, hey, where did that come from? Like, where did that come from? Mm-hmm. Is that even of God? So should I be frustrated or upset about that? Okay. So we're going to give you kind of four things to do when you think about expectations, four ways to handle you've got an unmet expectation. The first one of these is just to be aware.
Right. Yeah. So we can be unaware that we even have an expectation. So think about the next time something happens and I'm just frustrated and I'm not even sure why. This has probably happened today. I'm sure it did. And just look around, I'm frustrated and I don't know, like, nothing specific happened. And then if I can just stop for a minute and just think, okay, what am I frustrated about? Oh, there was an expectation here. I wasn't even aware that I had one. And so just taking a second to stop and be aware of what I'm expecting. Man, why am I so mad? Why am I frustrated? I don't know. So next time, just to go, let me stop, take a breath, and see what this what this could be coming from. Yeah. So to be aware.
Yeah, and a lot of times we're not even aware until they're not met.
Right.
Or somehow they're triggered. If you ever had that, you know, thought like, why am I mad? Oh, I didn't even know that I expected to be greeted when I came home a certain way. I didn't even know that was really a thing until that didn't happen. Now I'm frustrated. Okay, so now we can talk about it. And the first step would just be to be aware. Okay, yep. Number two would be to be reasonable.
Yeah, and so expectations, will you stop, you're aware of them, and then you think, are these even reasonable? So John's amazing, but he misses the ball sometimes. You know, he misses. It has happened. It's been known to happen. Maybe even this week. Or myself this week. That's what I should say. Yeah. but just to know that, like, I'm thinking, guys, how often do you want to have sex? How often, ladies, do you want to sit down and have, like, our conversations, or vice versa, right? And so what is really realistic? What's realistic for John to expect from me? What's realistic for me to expect from him? So just making sure that it's reasonable, that any human could actually live up to this standard, and just giving some grace.
Yeah, that's right. So I think another one is like a lot of times this expectation that we'll always feel like passionately in love with each other. We'll always just be like so glad to be married and so glad to see them and so glad to be with them. And we'll always have, you know, these little butterflies every time we see them. For most people, that's just not how that works, you know, if you after the honeymoon. And so you just have to kind of reset what is what's reasonable, okay? And what is it that I could reasonably expect from my marriage and from my spouse, my husband, or my wife? And most couples will go through seasons where they're like, I mean, I'll keep my vow. This is not, I'm not absolutely thrilled to be married to you right now. That will happen. You'll wake up in the middle of the night and you roll over and you know, he or she will have their mouth open and they're snoring and, you know, they're kind of drooling on the pillow and you're like, man, what have I done? There's billions of people on the planet, you know, and I chose you. Seriously? You know, like that's actually kind of normal. Like, you didn't do anything wrong. I bet you didn't marry the wrong person. That you just had an expectation that would never happen to you. You know, we tell pre-married couples or kind of young singles, they'll have these just ridiculous, you know, expectations where the gal, you know, she'll say like, man, I want that kind of this spiritual leader, you know, like Billy Graham, you know, someone who's like been to seminary and knows how to, you know, read Greek and, you know, is this titan of industry and has washboard abs, you know, and that's what I'm looking for. And the guy is completely absurd. You know, they're like, man, I want a woman who's started orphanages, you know, overseas, and she's got her own cooking channel, and she's a supermodel, you know, and she likes to hunt, you know. And I'll tell those young guys, like, hey, man, if that woman existed, I don't think she'd marry you, dude, you know. And we can just kind of go, okay, like, is it possible that some of the expectations we have of our spouse, of our marriage, they're just unreasonable. Like, they're not wrong per se, but they're just like, I don't think it'd be fair to put that on another human being. Mm-hmm. And I think if we'll just kind of ask that, and when we get frustrated, it'll really help, again, help us move through those times when we don't feel wildly in love, or we feel disappointed, or we feel sad in our marriage or our spouse. Yeah. Okay, so that's be reasonable. Number two. And number three is just to be clear.
Yeah. So you've thought through your expectation, you're aware of it, you've thought through, okay, this feels reasonable, but you haven't said it, like it hasn't been spoken. And so we'll talk about this in the communication chapter, but your spouse cannot read your mind. The longer you've been married, it gets a little closer, but you still can't. I mean, you're not mind readers. And so just to have the ability to just speak your expectations, you know, just, hey, be thinking, not in a demanding way, but hey, if you're asking, I'd love, you know, to do this weekend, specifically with sex, like I'm not in a demanding way, but this is what I'd prefer when I prefer it. These are what plans I had hoped for. What about from you? And you just kind of could speak them to each other. So being aware, making sure they're reasonable, and then making sure they're spoken and that you're not reacting to something that's never been said.
Yeah, and there's a great quote. It says, unspoken expectations are premeditated resentments. Which is to say, if you don't say what your expectations are, you've decided ahead of time to be resentful. That's what's happened. And your spouse can't read your mind. A lot of times we think they can, and that like becomes the only plausible explanation for why they didn't do what they should have done or why they did what they did. Like, you knew what I was thinking, and you just did the opposite, you know. Pam talked about sex. It's amazing around sex how oftentimes we don't say anything and how agitated we get, you know, when our spouse doesn't, you know, respond in some way, right? So, I mean, this is kind of absurd, but this kind of stuff has happened at our, you know, in our home, and I'll come home and, you know, I go to bed kind of sullen, and Pam's like, what's wrong? It's like, well, you know, I told you that I wanted to have sex and you didn't. And she's like, what? Like, when did you say that? And I was like, you know, like when I walked in and I raised my eyebrows at you like that, you knew that. She's like, come on, man, you know, like, you know, just say, like, use your words, you know, like she's talking to our kids. And I don't know that that's happened, but there's some version of that has absolutely happened in our house. And it wasn't that the expectation was unrealistic. It wasn't that someone wouldn't meet them. It's just they weren't clear. And so if we don't, If we don't communicate mm-hmm. those, we've already decided we're going to be resentful. And it's just not fair to play mind games with the person you're sitting next to here. And we have to use our words, and we have to say, hey, is this something we could talk about? Could I share a hope or an expectation? We can talk about if it's reasonable or not, but I'd love to just say this out loud, and then we can just, let's just talk and think about it. Would that be okay? That's how you do that, rather than just getting really mad at them for not fulfilling that expectation.
Yeah. So the last one is just as we're thinking about expectations is to be aware, be reasonable, be clear, you know, speak them. And then the last one is just to be open to the counsel of others as you're thinking about these expectations. So Proverbs 15:12 says, the way of fools seems right to them, but the wise will listen to advice. So as you're in your groups, as you're with trusted friends, be open to the counsel of others.
Yeah, I think for Pam and I, most of the time we've been able to kind of, you know, talk through things and just kind of pray. We can't talk it out. So let's just pray on it. Let's just sit on it. Is that reasonable? You know, and then there's been a couple times in our journey just to go, hey, you know what? Like, we see a little bit differently. We want to honor Christ. Could you guys speak into this? I think the last one I remember, they told me I was wrong and Pam was right. And I was like, great, we'll go with that. You know, I trust you guys. I think you're objective and you're, it hasn't happened very often.
And it wasn't even a real clear cut right and wrong. It was just like, you got to pick something. So we're siding with her, I guess. I don't know how that worked out.
I'm still not sure they're right, but I think they were. And so that's and you might just need, you know, a friend to tell you, I think mm-hmm. what you're asking of your spouse is just not fair, or mm-hmm. it's not realistic, or maybe this isn't the season. You got three little kids, your work is crazy, their work is crazy. I just don't know. I don't know if this is the time to have that expectation. And what if you just kind of, look to serve your spouse, see if the season passes, and then revisit it. That might be the wise counsel of a friend, okay? Well, guys, sometimes expectations, just reality is they won't be met, or we don't know if they'll be met. And we've got to have some framework for how to handle that. And so I remember one of our daughters was getting ready. If you guys remember this season, this horrible season called, like, you know, the dances and the proms and all that. If you guys remember that, I don't remember which one it was, and there was way too many of them, but there was one. And she's sitting with us, and she's saying, hey, I don't know if I'm going to get asked to this dance. And if I do get asked, there's a couple people like I really, really don't want to go with. Like, I don't know how I'm going to handle that. And our rule was like, hey, you either go with the person, and you can judge us later if you want. Like, you go with the person that asks you, or you don't go, you know, with another person. You don't just try to shop the field and see the best option you can get. You know, so that's how we handle it. And she was like, man, I don't know how this is going to go down. But there's a couple people I would love it. I would just love it. If I got asked by them, you know. So she's got a wide range of possibilities. Wildly excited, right? You know, all of her little young teenage dreams come true. Wildly disappointed, either by, not getting asked or getting asked by someone that she does not want to spend, 4 or 5 hours with, or somewhere in between, you know. And we didn't know. We didn't know how that was going to go. And so we just opened our Bibles and quoted and read with her Psalm 73, 25, 26. I want to read it to you, and it would be, oh, that's great, it's up there. And it's a good verse, whether you don't know who or if you're going to the prom with, or how your marriage is going to go tonight, this week, this month, or even in the coming years. Okay, Psalm 73, whom have I in heaven but you? Mm-hmm. And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is my strength, my heart, and my portion forever. And so we sat with our daughter and just said, hey, sweetie, we just don't know how this is going to go. But here's the thing. God is your portion. Or I said, we might say it this way today. Hey, since you have God, you're good. And wouldn't it be great if you were asked with somebody you're really excited about? That'd be really fun. But here's the thing. You don't have to be wrecked if your expectations aren't met. You've got God, and you can be good. And God can be, in a sense, a fulfillment of your expectations. And so we quote that to ourselves individually. We quote that as a couple when things don't roll our way, and I would commend that. I would commend that to you. So I don't know how things will go in your marriage, but you've got God, friends, and you're good. And so I hope tonight you'll think about where your expectations kind of came from. You'll make sure that you speak them. You'll make sure that they are reasonable and aligned really with Scripture. And if things kind of don't go well, that you'll be open to the counsel of others, but irrespective, that you would realize how good it is to be able to walk with God. And anything that's lacking in your marriage, you would still have your cup full. Because your relationship with Christ. So, good?
Yeah, good.
You want to pray for us?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Go.
Yeah. Lord, thank you that you are our portion. And God, for every couple in here, you knew exactly what every single couple in here was walking, just what's going on as they were walking in, what's going on in their own hearts and what's going on in their marriage. And you want what's best for them. So I just pray for the couples that know you, they would just be, just remembered and just cling to the fact that they've got you, whatever's going, whether things are going great or whether they're not, they've got you, so they're good. And then the couples that don't, that there would just be an opportunity tonight for them to hear and that you would just draw them to you and that they would go, man, whatever's going to happen, I want to trust God, and so I want to know I've got him, and so whatever happens, I'm good. So thank you, Lord, for just that promise. Thank you for just a place to come work on our marriages. Thank you for these couples that are here and that are doing that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, thanks, guys.